The makers of Chase and Sanborn coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour and your host, Don Ameche. Well, here we all are again, sending another Chase and Sanborn Hour on its way. And I bring you the hearty welcome of our entire company. Nelson Eddy.
Oh, Mr. Ameche.
Yeah, what is it, Charlie?
You know, I was just thinking, every time you get started, I seem to interrupt you, don't I?
Yes, Charlie, you do
seem
to.
Yes, well, I just realized it. It came to me like a flash, and I'm not going to do it anymore.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine,
that's
Charlie.
Right.
I'm glad to hear you've reformed.
Yes,
greetings to you all on behalf of Nelson Eddy,
yes,
Dorothy Lamour, the Stroud twins.
I never should have done it in the first place. It's uncouth, yes, I know. That's
yes.
what it is.
Well, look, don't worry about it, Charlie.
No,
Robert Armbruster, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
It isn't etiquette. It isn't cricket. That's what it is. No.
Charlie, is this your idea of not interrupting me?
Why, of course, Mr. Meachy. It's rude. I'm ashamed of myself.
Well, if that's your idea of not interrupting, I wish from now on you would interrupt.
Oh, not me. I'm a gentleman.
I wonder, Charlie. In any event, we're all happy to have with us for a second visit one of the finest actresses of our time, Miss Alice Brady.
You know, if I interrupted now, I'd be canned if I interrupted. Yes, you would.
Yeah, for instance, you would.
Yeah.
We hope you will all enjoy our show and that throughout the week you will enjoy Chase and Sanborn coffee.
That's what I said.
We all remember Nelson Eddy's famous picture, Naughty Marietta. And once again, he sings us the rousing marching song of the Scouts.
When the tropic sun is riding, or the moon is in the sky, we must go where danger's hiding, ready to do or die. Are you fighting sons of wildcats? Are you with me wrong or right? Then follow where I go to meet the savage foe. Here's to men who love a fight. Here's to men who love a fight. Is riding, or the moon is in the sky. We must go the danger's hiding, ready to do or die. Are you hiding from the wild? Are you with me wrong or right? Then follow where I go to meet the savage foe. Here's the man who love a fight.
From the land of the shamrock comes a song full of a longing for the cool, deep lakes of Killarney and the fresh green of Emerald Isle. Nelson Eddy sings, I'll take you home again, Kathleen.
I'll take you home again, Kathleen, across the ocean. First you were my bonnie bride.
Kathleen, Kathleen, Kathleen.
Say, I didn't know you were an Irish ballad singer, Charlie.
Oh, sure, and what did you expect from a McCarthy? She's as sweet as today. She stole my heart away. Oh, Maggie, McGinty, Miguel.
Sure, and you've missed your calling, McCarthy.
And what calling, Nick Nelson?
Hog calling.
Yeah, ho, ho, ho. Well, I'm too busy to argue with you. Mr. Bergen and I are going in to study the supernatural and the occult.
Oh, the occult. Is it very easy?
Oh, no, it is very difficult.
Well, there's one thing about you, Charlie. Nobody should ever take you seriously.
No, Nelson, strange as it may seem, Charlie is telling the truth. It all came about through an amusing incident at my house the other night. A friend of mine, an Indian seeress, Princess Kamisha Hanrahan, started to read tea leaves.
Was she psychic?
Yeah, she was good-looking, too.
It was quite remarkable, Nelson. She, well, really, we were astounded.
I fell asleep.
Some of the things she said were so accurate it would be too much to call it coincidence. It was amazing how much she got out of those tea leaves.
Yeah, there wasn't much left of the cake either.
No.
Well, maybe she had second sight.
I think she had a snootful.
Oh. Charlie, don't be facetious.
Oh, forgive me, Bergen. Forgive me. Carry on.
Yes. Well, I was determined to learn something about the principles of psychic phenomena.
Quite.
Yeah. So I bought some books on the subject.
What phase of it are you studying?
Well, I've concentrated on tea leaves, cards, and palmistry. Mm.
I lean towards crystal gazing and phrenology.
Oh, phrenology.
Mm. Yes.
The contour of the cranium.
No, the bumps on the head. That's me. Dr. Charles McCarthy, B.A.
Oh, Bachelor of Arts?
Yeah, no, bump analyzer. See, for $5, we'll give you a complete reading.
Not interested, Charlie.
Well, we'll throw in a Boy Scout knife, too.
No, I have no use for one.
Okay, huh? Mm-hmm. How about 4 bag fronts of Chase and Sanborn coffee?
I don't want a reading. I don't want anything.
You don't want anything, huh? Skeptical, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Charlie, I can understand why we failed.
Yeah?
Yes. You see, our attitude isn't professional.
Oh.
We must have assurance, confidence, and dignity.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, well, we'll try it on down.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Amici.
Yes, Charlie?
Would you like to have the veil of mystery lifted from the face of the future? A peep into the unknown?
Edgar, what's he trying to say?
Well, simply this, Don. We are making character analysis our business. And we are prepared to give you expert consultation, information, and prognostication.
Without hesitation.
Yes.
For $5 in advance.
Yes.
All right, here's my $5. I'm a sport.
He's a sucker. Oh.
All right, Charlie. Look into the crystal and read Don's future.
Yes, Professor.
What do you see in the crystal?
It's 8:15.
No. I said the crystal, not the watch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And by the way, that's my watch.
Oh, is it? Must have stuck to my fingers.
Hey, what are you fellas, crystal gazers or pickpockets?
We give complete service, Mr. Amici.
Give me back my $5.
Grab his hand, Bergen, we're in trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, we shall read your palm, Don.
Well, you can't take my hand away.
That's what you think. We had a man in here Thursday, his leg fell off. Oh.
Quiet, Charlie, quiet.
Yeah.
Now, Don, as I look into your hand, I see that you're going to live for a very long time.
A very long time.
And then again, you may live for a reasonably long time.
Yes, a reasonably long time, you see.
Well, about how long?
You want to know about how long? How do you feel now?
I feel fine.
What are you worrying about? All right.
I can see by your fate line, Don, that you're going to travel soon.
Why, that's ridiculous. I have no intention of traveling.
Well, how are you going to get home tonight?
Well, I don't call that traveling.
Well, we do.
I don't think much of your ability as a palmist.
Mr. Amici, if we do anything well, phrenology is the best thing we do. If we do anything well.
Yeah. Charlie specializes in phrenology, you know, Don.
Yeah.
He shall read the bumps on your head.
Yeah, that's interesting, too.
Yes.
Now we have 2 readings, Don. We have a $3 reading and a $5 reading.
Well, what's the difference?
$2.
And what's the $3 reading?
Well, the $3 reading is once over lightly, see.
And what's the $5 one?
Well, a $5 reading includes a shampoo and a tonic. And we put drops in your eyes, too. How's that?
Well, I don't want drops in my eyes.
You don't? How about a singe? It's getting a little thin up there.
I don't want a singe.
You know, a singe. Looks like we're going to have war, doesn't it? How about hand me a hot towel? What do you... Oh, that's another thing. Yes, well, you'll go on. Pardon me.
Yes. Listen, I've already paid you $5, and you haven't given me a thing.
All right. Let's have it quiet, will you? You don't mind if I close my eyes? You see, I can concentrate better when I read your head when I close my eyes, yes.
No, I don't mind.
Okay, sir. It's a very interesting head you have there, Don. Very interesting. Charlie, that's my head. Oh, excuse me, sir. Oh, there you are, Don. Yes, thank you. Yes. You see, I have my eyes closed. It's difficult. Yes, I know. Hold still, Mr. Meacham.
All right.
Yes, thank you. Uh-huh, yes, you have a very well-shaped head, Don. Very well-shaped head.
Thanks.
This is the cerebellum. And here is the cerebrum. I wonder what's become of Sarah. Charlie, oh, excuse me. Now, we start with the back of your head. In case you don't know it, this is the back of your head, Don.
Thanks.
There's no charge for that, you know. You have a most unusual bump on the back of your head, Mr. Meacham.
Hey, what are you talking about? That's my nose.
Oh. Most unusual. What won't they think of next?
Now, look, this has gone far enough. You're a fraud, a phony, and a faker.
If you please, let's keep sentiment out of this. Burton, give him back the $5. All right.
And now, here's something very important to keep in mind. You have only a few days left to get your big likeness of Charlie McCarthy free. Yes, this amazing gift offer closes for good on midnight, January 31st. That's your last chance to get this wonderful present, so hurry. Charlie, you know, is made of stout cardboard. He's over 20 inches high, brightly colored. He sits right on your knee, and you can move his mouth and eyes and pretend to make him talk. And you get Charlie without sending one penny. Just mail us 4 bag fronts, showing the date, from 4 one-pound bags of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Dated coffee, you know, is the superb blend that's guaranteed fresh by our unique dating and rapid delivery system. It's rushed to your grocer fresh from roasting with a delivery date plainly marked on the money-saving dated bag. This date definitely assures freshness and protects you from the bitter, rancid taste of stale coffee and the dangerous effect it may have on your nerves and digestion. So try fresh, delicious dated coffee right away. Mail us 4 bag fronts and you'll get Charlie promptly and postpaid. But please remember, this free offer definitely closes January 31st at midnight. Your letter must be postmarked before that time. Now, here's our address. Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, 420-LEXINGTON, Lexington Avenue, New York City. Get Charlie free before it's too late. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Every season seems to bring along a bumper crop of good songs. But my vote for one of the current 10 best goes to this nice bit of melody that pokes a little fun at the Hawaiian craze. Broadway's Gone Hawaii from Love and Hisses. And it's Dorothy L'Amour who sings it for us.
Broadway's been vaccinated, inoculated with a new kind of germ, a worm that's permeated the atmosphere. Mister, I choose to be the first to say the gay white way is tough, but not what it used to be. It seems sort of strange. Have you ever noticed the change? Broadway's gone Hawaii. There's a Honolulu feeling through the air. Broadway's gone Hawaii. They're all gone nuts about hula huts on Old Times Square. Torch song singers have given up Frankie and Johnny for King Kamehameha, Huma Huma Nuka, and Sweet Lame Lottie. Broadway's gone Hawaii. Every hot spot features those brass bird creatures. Broadway rhythm you change for. Everybody's gone Hawaii. Everybody's gone. Hawaii.
We all know Alice Brady for her delightfully hilarious comedy roles, and she'll have another one in the forthcoming Universal picture, Goodbye Broadway. But right now, Alice Brady is being applauded from coast to coast for her magnificent dramatic performance in the picture In Old Chicago. For us, Miss Brady appears in another dramatic role, that of Queen Elizabeth. Perhaps this tragic love story is familiar to you, but in these high scenes from Maxwell Anderson's great play, you will hear Alice Brady as Elizabeth the Queen.
Elizabeth the Queen, with Alice Brady as Elizabeth of England and Don Ameche as the Earl of Essex. Elizabeth has sent her lover, Lord Essex, to conquer Ireland, but those in her court who feared his power with his queen have waylaid his letters, accused him of treason, and induced her to order him back to England. He has come, but bringing his army with him, and now, as his men hold the city of London, he faces Elizabeth in her apartments in the palace.
So, my Lord Essex, you come with an army at your back. How dare you face me with a show of power? How dare you march upon the city? They were right to call you traitor.
I am no traitor, Your Majesty. But in the midst of my mission, you called me home. What could I think save that you were finished with me?
You were engaged in subduing the rebels, then?
Just so.
You were not by chance joined with the rebels?
Never.
Then why did you write me nothing all these months? Am I a witch to find out what happens on the far side of the Irish Sea without being told?
I wrote you. Wrote fully.
You wrote me?
Many times.
And had no letters from me?
None.
By the rood, if the couriers were tampered with, there should be some neck stretched here. What did you write me?
I wrote my plans, my love, God keep you safe. I know not what, but always to say I loved you. Always.
I would I had known. I was in torment. I thought because I was older. You see, that someone else...
No one, never a breath. Sweet, think back, all those months, all those hideous months. No word, no love. And when word did come, it was to make me prisoner. I had my pride. And though I came here in defiance, I came truly to find you who have been lost from me.
Do you ask forgiveness? It is all forgiven. Love, I will be your servant. Command me. What would you have?
Why, nothing.
Take this, my world, my present in your hands. You shall stand back of my chair, and together we shall build an England to make the old world wonder and the new world worship. What is this doubt in your brow?
It's not easy now, but speak I must. The throne is yours by right of descent and by possession. But if this were a freer time and there were election, I should carry the country before me.
We are equal. I have made you so, and that is enough.
But still, it's all yours. Am I not as worthy to be king as you to be queen?
No.
Well, then now, when the country is mine, the court in my hands, you my prisoner, I must give back your kingdom to you and know I've been king for a moment only and never will be again?
I am your prisoner?
The palace and the city are in my hands.
What? The very palace? You have taken my power?
My guards are at the door. This England is mine for the taking.
This is your friendship. This is your love. Now do I know at last what it was you wanted. You wanted my kingdom.
Is it so hard to share your power with your love? I ask but one thing.
You dare to bargain with me.
Give me this word, this one word. My soldier shall leave, you shall be free.
I believe that when it happens.
It shall not happen until you promise.
Then you have my promise. You shall share the realm with me. As I am queen, I promised it.
Then this is my answer. Captain of the guard.
My lord.
Here are your orders. Return the palace into the queen's hands. Retire with all our forces to the strand.
Shall be done with all possible speed.
The palace will be returned as quickly as taken. This is our last quarrel.
Yes. Our last.
They are leaving the palace. Now let us forget this matter of thrones and kingdoms and be but you and me for a while.
Yes. Yes, let us forget. But if I called, would my guard come now? Or yours?
Yours only. Shall I call them?
No. No, I'll call them. Captain of the guard.
Yes, Majesty.
The palace has been returned. It is in our hands.
Yes, Majesty.
I have ruled England a long time, my Essex. And I've found out that he who would rule must be quite friendless, without mercy, without love. Arrest Lord Essex. Arrest Lord Essex. Take him to the tower and keep him safe.
Is this a jest?
I never jest when I play for kingdoms. My Lord of Essex. Well, Cecil?
Lord Essex is prepared for his execution. The priest has been sent to him.
Bring him here, I say. And now, at once.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Penelope, dear, do not be here when he comes. You look so young.
Oh, yes, madam, but you're beautiful.
Beautiful still? I was once. You'd not believe it now.
Oh, he's here. I go.
You sent for me?
Yes.
It would have been kinder to leave me with my thoughts till the axe came down and ended them. You spoiled me for death.
Are you so set on dying?
I can't say I care for it. This blood that beats in us has a way of wanting to keep right on.
You must have known. I never meant you to die.
I am under sentence from Your Majesty's courts. Found guilty of treason on good evidence.
Heaven knows I am proud. But I have sent for you. I have taken the first step. Do not make me take the next.
The next is to the scaffold. And I've made ready.
It's true, then, that you never loved me, isn't it? You were ambitious. It was the nearest way to power, and you took the nearest way. I am older than you, but a queen. It was natural you'd flatter me, speak me fair, and I believed you.
Yes, that's true enough. Now may I go? This dying sticks in my mind and makes me poor company, I fear.
It was true. It was true, then.
If you wish to make me tell you how much I have longed for you, very well, I will say it. That's a small victory to win over me now.
You love me still?
You should know that, I think.
You kept my ring. The ring I gave you as my vow that its return would guarantee my pardon, no matter the offense. You never sent my ring. I've been waiting for it.
You may have it back if you have use for it. I'd thought to wear it as far as my grave, but take it.
I'd have forgiven all that had passed at any hour, day or night, since I last saw you. I have waited late at night, thinking tonight the ring will come. He will never hold out against me so long. But the nights went by, somehow, like the days. And here it is the last morning, and the chimes beating out the hours.
Dear, if I'd known, but I could not have sent it.
I'd have kept my promise. I keep it even now.
You would pardon me? Set me free? Give me my place in the state? Love me as before?
All as it was.
And what would happen to your throne?
My throne? Nothing.
Yes. For I'd take it from you.
Again? You would dare play that game again?
I played for power and lost, but if I had another chance, I think I'd play and win. I have loved you, love you now, but I have a weakness for being first wherever I am. I refuse to take pardon from you without warning you of this. And when you know it, pardon becomes impossible.
You do this for me?
Yes. But not altogether. Partly for England, too. You govern England better than I should. I'd lead her into wars, leave a legacy of debts and bloodshed. You'll leave peace, happiness, something secure. And now, if you'll pardon me, I have an appointment nearby with a headsman. He comes sharp on the hour. The clock ticks on.
It cannot go this way.
Aye, but it has and will. Speak frankly. Could you forgive me and keep your throne?
No.
Are you ready to give your crown up to me?
No. It's all I have. Why, who am I to stand here pulsing with a rebel noble? I am Elizabeth, daughter of a king, the Queen of England, and you are my subject. What does this mean? You, an upstart, defy me to grant pardon, lest you should sweep me from power and take my place from me. I tell you, if blood ran streaming from the heavens for a sign that I should hold my hand, you'd die for this. You pretender to a throne upon which you have no claim. You pretender to a heart who have been hollow and heartless and faithless to the end.
If we'd met some other how, we might have been happy. But there's been an empire between us. Now I am to die. So I can tell you truly. Out of all the earth that I'm to leave, there's nothing I'm very loath to leave, save you. Yet if I live, I'll be your death, or you'll be mine.
Give me the ring.
No.
Give me the ring! I'd rather you kill me than I killed you.
It's better as it is. Goodbye, my queen.
Oh, then I'm old. I'm old. I could be young with you, but without you, I'm old. The sun will be empty and circle around an empty earth, and I will be queen of emptiness and death. Why could you not have loved me enough to give me your love and let me keep as I was?
I know not. I only know I could not. I must go.
Yes. Lord Essex! Take my kingdom! It is yours.
My lady, you must not let him die. Run to him. Look, it lacks but a few seconds of the hour. Then, bend after him.
And now indeed, am I queen of emptiness and death?
Jason Sanborn are with Nelson Eddy, Alice Brady, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, the Stroud Twins, Robert Armbruster, and your host Don Ameche will continue in just a moment.
Miss Brady, may I also say welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Mr. Bergen. What did your performance, Charlie?
Oh, odd Botkins and Gadzooks, my Lady Brady. That was Sue Burp. That's what it was, Sue Burp. Sue Burp?
No,
it wasn't Sue Burp. It was Sue Bourbon.
No.
Sue Barbon.
No.
Sue Barb.
No.
Rhubarb?
No.
It was mediocre, that's what...
No, certainly not. It was not mediocre.
No, it was very good.
Yes, it was very good. Very good.
Yes.
In fact, it was superb.
That's it. How is it you can say it for yourself, Bergen, and not for me?
Did the play hold you?
Oh, no, Bergen did. I was... Say, you certainly clipped that Essex, didn't you?
Yes, and I mowed him down, didn't I, Charlie?
You did that, you did.
But did you like the play? Now, tell me that you did, won't you?
Well, if you insist, yes, I did. Yes.
You mean you really didn't like it?
Oh, of course, of course. But I think the author missed a delicate little turn there. You don't mind if I say so, do you?
No, I don't mind.
That's good. And I think the character of Essex was inconsistent, if you don't mind my saying so.
I don't mind anything you say, no.
No. I wonder how she meant that. I don't feel, I might add, I don't feel that you captured the spirit of the Queen, if you don't mind my saying so.
Yes, but I do mind.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Oh. Well, then I won't say it, no. Why should I stick my neck out?
I would be too interested in hearing any suggestions you could make. Well, that is, if you have any.
Yeah. Isn't that sarcasm, Miss Brady?
Yes, that's just what it is.
That's just what I thought, yes. It's getting so a person can't tear anything apart around here without someone taking offense. Would you be interested in hearing my version of the play, Miss Brady?
I'm sure that your version would be the epitome of insignificance.
Yes.
And I can think of nothing that would be more infinitesimal.
Yeah. Oh, it won't be that good. I call it Dottie the Queen featuring Dorothy L'Amour. Raise the curtain. Stand by. All hail the Queen. All right, we know where the Queen is. We're not hunting her. Now let's do it right. All hail the Queen. Oh. A wise guy.
Yeah.
Call at the window for your paycheck. You're through. Ah, my queen.
Ah, Lord Westcott.
Ah, my queen.
Ah, Lord Westcott.
Ah, my queen.
Ah, Lord Westcott.
Somebody doesn't move that needle. We're here all night.
Lord Westcott, you have been gone 6 months and not a word from you. Why didn't you write?
But, my queen, I did write. Didn't you hear? Didn't you? Why didn't you answer or something?
Because I never got your letter.
Oh, well, that's a good reason.
Did you send me a letter?
I swear, my sweet, I swear. I sent you an epistle by an apostle.
Is that Sossel?
Yassel. And I sent you a confirmation by airmail.
Airmail? Milord, do you realize this is 1615?
Is it that late? No wonder I'm hungry. Oh.
The year 1615.
Oh.
There's no airmail, I say.
How about carrier pigeons?
If you sent the letter by carrier pigeon, why didn't it get here?
Maybe I forgot to put a stamp on the bird. Maybe I should have put him in the mailbox.
Was he a homing pigeon?
Oh, that's the trouble. He wouldn't leave home.
If you wrote, what message did you have for me?
Oh, I spoke of my love, my adoration, my constant devotion, and stuff like that, you know.
Westcott, my loyal subjects are insinuating that you're professing your love for me only to capture my crown.
Oh, fie and foul thereall.
Then it is not true that you seek power?
Oh, foul thereall and fie. I have power. You may not know it, but the palace is mine.
What? The palace is yours?
Aye. And there's a double feature starting tonight. The Golden Follies and Hurricane.
What sayest thou?
Well, one might as well get us to plug us in.
And why not us?
Yeah, next week we'll have old Chicago and Rosalie. That takes care of Amici and Eddie.
Yes.
Buffoon, you are prevaricating. You have captured the palace?
Oh, you don't believe it, eh? Then I shall prove it. Captain of the guards, bring in the army. Ho!
I am the captain of the guard.
And where is the army?
I am the army.
Had some heavy losses lately, Queen.
Then I have nothing to fear. Lord Westcott, you are doomed to the gallows. Have you any last request to make?
Just a one, I should like to say farewell to my loyal subjects gathered in the courtyard.
That I cannot deny. Step to the balcony.
Thank you. My loyal subjects, my very loyal subjects. Oh, who threw that?
What was that, my lord?
Ah, the tomatoes have ripened early in England.
I shall quiet them. My loyal subjects. Oh. Frightfully early.
Yes, please. And now I am ready. My queen, I am ready for the gallows.
I cannot let you go. I love you despite everything. I love you.
It's too late.
He is gone. He has gone to the gallows, and I'm alone. It's getting closer. The time has almost come. They're opening the doors. The time has come.
Aren't we all?
Well, I'm afraid Charlie lost his head over royalty that time. But over at 20th Century Fox, I've been playing opposite a queen, too. The queen of the ice, lovely Sonia Henie. Happy Landing is the picture. It has a little foretaste. I'd like to sing you one of the songs from it. A Gypsy Told Me So.
A gypsy told me that I'd be lucky in my love. It's written in the stars above, a gypsy told me so. She said that someone would come into my life someday, and we would journey far away, a gypsy told me so. She then described her eyes and hair, and said she'd be divine and charming. The answer to my every prayer, the picture that she drew, completely fitted you. Then out of heaven, you suddenly appeared to me, exactly as she said you'd be. So awfully sweet, I always knew we'd be. A gypsy told me so. Told me that I'd be lucky in my love. It's written in the stars above, a gypsy told me so. She said that someone would come into my life someday, and we would journey far away, a gypsy told me so. She then described her eyes and hair, and said she'd be divine and charming. The answer to my every prayer, the picture that she drew, completely fitted you. Then out of heaven, you suddenly appeared to me, exactly as she said you'd be. So awfully sweet, I always knew we'd meet. A gypsy told me so.
Don, you did a nice piece of work on that song. I enjoyed it, and I want to take this opportunity to honestly express my pleasure.
Well, thanks a lot, Nelson.
Pardon me, Nelson. I'm sure that your tribute to Don was sincere and well-meant, but in saying it, you made a grammatical error. You inadvertently split an infinitive.
Why, Clarence Stroud, do you mean to say that I split an infinitive?
I'm positive that the error was made. You said to honestly express. Express is a verb. To express is the infinitive of that verb. By putting the adverb honestly between the preposition to and the verb express, you thereby split the infinitive. Is that clear?
It's clear, but who cares?
Well, I do. I reiterate, Nelson did split an infinitive. He could have said to express honestly or honestly to express, but never to honestly express.
Fellas, there's no use going any further. I did split an infinitive. Now that I've confessed, I feel better.
Nelson, I never suspected that you were an infinitive splitter. How could you do such a thing to me?
Don, old man, I hardly know what to say. I know it's too much to ask, but we've been friends for a long time, Don, and, well, could you possibly forgive me?
Nelson, I'll be perfectly frank with you. In the past, we've been close, mighty close. Real pals. But when you split that infinitive, you shook my faith. This may be the end.
Don, there is no need to take seriously such a trivial mistake.
Oh, tut, tut, tut. We'll face the issue in our own way.
Oh, why did this thing have to happen to me? I've tried to conceal it, but at last my sins have caught up with me. Isn't there some way out?
How did you get in?
Claude, please. Can't you see the agonies Nelson's going through? Don't mind Claude, Nelson. Buck up. Carry on.
I must admit it. I confess. I'm guilty. Heaven help me. I am guilty.
Give him 30 days and get him out of here.
Claude, you cannot afford to be critical. Do you know what Nelson is talking about?
Does anybody know what anybody's talking about?
A split infinitive. Do you know how a person splits an infinitive?
He bends over too far?
Most assuredly not.
Oh, how I envy you happy, carefree people. Your future is bright, but I am an outcast, a miserable, wretched, insplinitive fitter.
Nelson, when did you first fall into the clutches of this terrible habit?
Well, just a few years ago, Don. But it seems like centuries. At first, I only split one or two a day. I laughed. I thought it would be easy to quit. Fool that I was.
We're having a lot of fun.
Claude, I hope you realize that Nelson is needlessly upset. He is laboring under a delusion. He's making a mountain out of a molehill. He's piling Ossa upon Pelion.
It's nice work if he can get it.
You must be calm, Nelson. The splitting of infinitives is not a matter of such importance.
Oh, time after time, I swear I'll give it up. I resolve to completely stop, but oh, there I go again. I split another one. I can't help it. I think I'm going mad.
I think you're already there.
Nelson, I will split an infinitive just to show you how harmless it really is.
Oh, it's no use. You're not like I am. You can split them or leave them alone.
Courage, courage, Nelson, old man. Perhaps a change of scenery would help you forget. There's always the Foreign Legion.
No, there's no escape. There's no escape. I can't control it. I try and try and... Oh, there, I feel another spell coming on. It's got me. It's got me. Here I go. I'm going to quickly run, to frequently talk, to heavily sleep, to deeply breathe, to loudly shout.
It's contagious, Nelson. You're not going alone. You got me doing it. I am going to hastily follow, to speedily join you. Let's get together and split a keg of infinitives.
Whoopee! Whoopee!
I have finally reached a definite conclusion. Don and Nelson have been pulling my leg.
Does it come off?
Well, certainly not.
Well, they've pulled hard enough.
Now, boys, you shouldn't fight. After all, you are twins.
Why, how do you do, Miss Brady?
How fantastically intriguing, twins. There are two of you, aren't there?
It's both boys.
At the night... Nicest thing about twins, they come in pairs. Unless, of course, they're triplets. I've heard all about you. Now, what's your name anyway? Now, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'll remember. I know it's something about ghosts. Oh, yes, I've got it. Shrouds. I've heard all about you, Shroud.
The name is Stroud, not Shroud.
Yes, that's right, Miss Brody.
Claude, the name is Brady, not Brody.
Well, she could change it.
I heard the most marvelous story about how to tell twins apart. You see, if you stick your finger in John's mouth and James bites you, it's Joe. But, of course, I wouldn't dream of biting either of you. Which is the one who talks too much?
You. Claude, please, you'll have to pardon my brother, Miss Brady. He has an incongruous misconception.
I think it's very marvelous to be able to talk that way. Say some long words for me. Of course, I don't want you to strain yourself.
It's a strain on everybody but himself.
Oh, you're the clever one, aren't you?
Yes, he's the other one. Miss Brady, please don't feel that I am wounded by these rather personal remarks, but in my own defense...
Oh, dear, there he goes again. I know it must be hard for you to stop after you've started, but if you didn't start, it would be much easier to stop. Of course, I have really no right to criticize you because you're the way you are, and I'm the way I am, but I just happen to be that way, and you happen to be the way you are. Now, well, what was I saying anyway?
You were saying...
Oh, yes, thank you so much. You may waste a lot of words, but I can see you have the instincts of a gentleman.
That's where it stops. Miss Brady,
That's a very good suggestion, yes. You're a darling boy, and I've enjoyed these quiet moments of reflection we've had together, even if your brother did break in and interrupt the chain of thought.
Miss Brady, I salute you. In my own poor way, I have furthered the cause of conversation, but I bow to the fluency of your words. I worship your vocabulary, and I admire you.
Why, Clarence, dear, I bow to the fluency of your words, I worship your vocabulary, and I admire you.
Why don't you two get married and raise an encyclopedia?
I have the faintest idea what you mean, but you may be rest assured that as far as I'm concerned, I'm crazy and happy about the whole thing.
Robert Arm Brewster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra play Hit of the Day from Manhattan Merry-Go-Round. Mama, I Wanna Make Rhythm. Glad to have these facts.
If you hurry, you can still get free a marvelous big action likeness of Charlie McCarthy, but you must act at once. This offer closes midnight January 31st, just 1 week from tomorrow. So don't miss this last chance to get Charlie without cost. And what a wonderful present he is. Charlie sits right on your knee and moves his mouth and eyes. He's over 20 inches tall, made of strong cardboard in full color. And here's how you get him free. On or before January 31st, mail us 4 bag fronts showing the date, from 4 one-pound bags of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, the blend you know is fresh. For dated coffee is rushed to grocers freshly roasted with the date of delivery clearly marked on the economical dated bag. This unique dating plan and rapid delivery system guarantees the freshness of dated coffee, protects you from the rancid, harsh taste of stale coffee and the harmful effects it may have on your system. So try Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Mail 4 bag fronts to us by January 31st, and we'll send you as a gift a big action likeness of Charlie McCarthy. But please be certain your letter is postmarked before midnight, January 31st, the final deadline. Now, here's our address. Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Now, remember, the time's growing short, and you must act now to get Charlie free. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
always felt that the famous team of Gilbert and Sullivan must have had a lot of fun when they wrote their operettas. There's a spirit of merriment in the music and a humor in the lyrics that has never been captured by anyone else. Nelson Eddy brings us a bit of that grand good humor with a song from Pinafore, the rollicking When I Was a Lad. Nelson Eddy.
When I was a lad, I served a term as office boy to an attorney's firm. I cleaned the windows and I swept the floor, and I polished up the handle of the big front door. I polished up the handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy. As office boy, I made such a mark that they gave me the post of a junior clerk. I served the writs with a smile so bland, and I copied all the letters in a big round hand. I copied all the letters in a hand so free, and now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy. In serving writs, I made such a name that a nautical clerk I soon became. I wore clean collars and a brand new suit for the pass examination at the Institute. That pass examination did so well for me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy. Of legal knowledge, I acquired such a grip that they took me into the partnership. And that junior partnership I ween was the only ship I ever had seen. That kind of a ship so suited me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy. Now, landsmen all, whoever you may be, if you want to rise to the top of the tree, if your soul isn't fettered to an office stool, be careful to be guided by this golden rule. Stick close to your desk and never go to sea, and you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
Stick close to your desk and never go to sea, and you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
After hearing that gay, romping music, it's hard to believe that it is the same composer, Sir Arthur Sullivan, who wrote the song that Nelson Eddy sings for us now, a song familiar and loved all over the world, The Lost Chord.
Seated one day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I know not what I was playing or what I was dreaming then, but I struck one chord of music like the sound of a great amen, like the sound of a great amen. The crimson twilight, like the close of an angel's psalm, and it lay on my fevered spirit with a touch of infinite calm. It quieted pain and sorrow, like love overcoming strong. Harmonious echo from our discordant life. It linked our perplexed meanings into one. trembled away into silence, as if it were loath to cease. I have sought, but I seek it vainly, that one lost chord divine, which came from the soul of the organ and entered into mine. Maybe that death's bright angel will speak in that chord again. It may be that only in heaven I shall hear that grand amen. It may be that death's bright angel will speak in that chord.
Farewell till we meet next week, when we will all be back. And with us as our guest will be Boris Karloff. And don't forget that this hour with you is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way we know of telling us you enjoy our show. So until next week at this time, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn, and this is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.